how do you bring Christmas joy, Christmas spirit, Thanksgiving joy, Thanksgiving spirit, like whatever the holiday is to celebrate, how do you bring that to where you are in this moment and have it be felt in a way that feels special?
Welcome to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski and a heart mom. I'm the mom of an adult with a single ventricle heart, and that's the reason I am the host of your program. I'm thrilled to interview a very special pair of heart moms in today's episode, Spending the Holidays in the Hospital. With me today are Jenny Muscatel and Lauren Bakke. Jenny is a licensed social worker, author, and radio host for Christian Mix 106. She is the co-founder of Muscatel Ministries, the Heart Community Collection, and she serves as editor-in-chief for the CHD magazine. As a licensed social worker, Jenny has established an extensive reservoir of expertise specializing in crisis intervention, health systems, and end-of-life care. Her best-selling book, The Journey of Faith and an Open Heart, shares the story of how she found faith battling for her daughter's life against odds in a true but inspirational journey of trial and triumph. Through faith-filled presentations and heartfelt written words, Jenny's mission is to give voice to the vulnerable, hope to the hurting, and to make way for the unspoken to be told. Lauren Bakke is mom to Jack and Everly. Her daughter Everly was born with a congenital heart defect. Everly was induced at a hospital 65 miles from home after a prenatal diagnosis, determined she would need open-heart surgery right after birth. Lauren and Matt Bakke decided after their daughter's surgery that they wanted to make life better for children born with CHDs and other hospitalized children. Lauren currently serves on the Advocate Children's Hospital Family Advisory Council, is a board member for the LJ's Healing Hearts, and is an active contributor in planning and running LJ's events. She is also a committee member for Children's Heart Foundation, Red Tie Ball. Together, Lauren, Matt, Jack, and Everly work with Brave Gowns to get soft, comfortable, and fun hospital gowns on kids. They collect pop tops to benefit Ronald McDonald House charities and attend school kickoffs for the American Heart Association Kids Heart Challenge. The Bakke family also enjoyed writing a book about Everly's CHD journey in 2020 with the foundation Books That Heal. The Bakke family recently set up a blood drive with the American Red Cross. Wow, you ladies are so inspiring. I'm so happy to have you both here. So first of all, welcome back to Heart with Anna, Jenny.
Thank you so much for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, I enjoy it too. And my loyal listeners will remember you, Jenny, from, several episodes that you've been on. With the first one being way back in 2021, and that doesn't even seem possible because I feel like you have always been a friend in my heart.
I know. I feel the same way. We met on my initial interview with you, and we have just been so close ever since.
We have totally clicked. And Lauren, I just adore talking to your husband, Matt. He was fantastic. I'm so glad I finally have a chance to meet you.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
I will have links to Jenny's and Lauren's husband, Matt's show, in the show notes for any of you who would like to listen. Matt came on the show to talk to us about getting a tattoo of a scar just like his daughter's, which was a really, really cool show. But we're talking about something totally different today. And this is something that is really serious and actually very near and dear to my heart. Let's get started by talking briefly about what it's like to be in the hospital during the holidays. I think it's unfortunately a very common thing to happen for those of us in a CHD world who have children that require multiple hospitalizations. I know for my own heart warrior, we were in there during my anniversary. We were in there during Halloween. We were in there during Thanksgiving. So Jenny, talk to me about what holiday you got to spend in a hospital with Faith.
Oh my goodness. We have been in the hospital so many times that there's probably hospitalizations and holidays that we've spent in the hospital that I can't even count back on. But I remember in particular Thanksgiving holiday. That was really a difficult time and we were away from our family and in the hospital. And being in the hospital in general is hard. First off, it's traumatic and there's a lot of uncertainty. Daily routines and daily comforts are definitely impacted. And it can be really isolating, but when you're in the hospital during a holiday, it adds a whole other layer to all of those challenges. Mm-hmm. And as heart parents, we wear a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we always wish that we could do is take away the discomfort and take away the pain and just make everything better. And we can't always do that. So we do the best we can. And so being in the hospital in and of itself, we're wearing that hat. But when you're in the hospital on a holiday, you're adding a little bit more to that hat that you're already wearing because you're trying really hard to take a very hard situation and just make it better and special.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes. We were also in a hospital for Thanksgiving. And we thought since we went in the day before Halloween that surely we would be home by Thanksgiving. So I think there was that added disappointment that we were still there. We were still dealing with pleural effusions and we wanted to be just about any place else.
Yeah, exactly.
Lauren, what holidays did you get to spend in the hospital with Everly?
We were actually very lucky. And over the past 5.5 years, we've been in and out of the hospital a lot of times. However, we were able to come home before big holidays and birthdays, either the day of the holiday or the day before. When Evie was first born, her first year of life, we were in and out of the hospital a lot, that mm-hmm. interstage year. And the first time that I really saw what it was going to be like to be away for big events was Evie was in the hospital before Thanksgiving. She came home on Thanksgiving, was home for a couple of days, and then was back in the hospital for all of December up until the day before Christmas. And it was a new experience for all of us. Jack was 5.5 when Evie was born. And so for 5.5 years, he had mom and dad, and he was the first grandchild on my side. So he had grandma and grandpa and Uncle AJ, and he had lots of traditions, lots of things we did together, gingerbread parties, decorating the Christmas tree together, the Crystal Lake Lights Parade at night, going downtown Chicago, all those things that we had done every year and that things he looked forward to.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, we were 65 miles away from each other when he was at home being taken care of by dad and grandma and grandpa. And I was in the hospital with Ev, who was fighting for her life after her second open heart surgery. While it was great that we were able to come home the day before, we had no idea that was how it was going to play out. So the anticipation of what will Christmas look like? How much will I miss? And dealing with a 5-year-old understanding and the disappointment of only dad's going to take me here or only grandma and grandpa are going to take me here. We're not all going together. Was definitely a challenge on top of figuring out what was going on with his sister and taking care of all of her medical needs and helping her get through some tough complications.
Sure, absolutely. And it's amazing how our children who are not in a hospital are affected by the hospitalization. We know that children can be really resilient, but this is also a life-changing event for them. And that's something that we need to think about. So what was the hardest part about being in the hospital during the holidays? Lauren, I'll go ahead and start with you since you were just talking about Jack. And I imagine Jack was the hardest part about being in the hospital during the holidays, not being there to make cookies and go on that journey to see all the lights in the city and all of that. But maybe I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right. That was the hardest part. Evie was 4 months old, so she didn't really know any different. She didn't know what she was missing out on. But Jack did know what he was missing out on. That was for sure the hardest part. I am, in general, not a very emotional person, but I cried a lot for missing him when he would come and visit me and he'd stay for the weekend at Ronald McDonald House, and Matt and I would take turns sleeping with him or sleeping with Ev. When he would leave and he would cry, it was just heartbreaking. And I knew that him going back to school and going back to kindergarten was the right thing instead of them staying all the time with me, because that gave him a sense of normalcy. You know,
right.
he was in kindergarten doing fun things. His teacher was fabulous, sending me pictures of him making ornaments and art projects and enjoying it. And it was keeping his mind busy by being at school. But when your child is crying like that, and then your other child is having some really hard things happen, it's a lot of weight on you. And then I think the other challenge was that I didn't know that that's how it was going to play out. Her second open heart surgery came as a surprise, which happens with CHD. But when you first get the diagnosis, you don't realize all the surprises that are going to come until you've lived it a little bit.
Sure.
I wasn't ready. I didn't have all of our Christmas presents ready. I didn't have presents for Jack. So that was an added stress too, because while I knew all the adults would understand, I wanted it to seem like for him that things didn't change because his life had already changed drastically.
Claus doesn't have to worry about Everly being in the hospital, right?
Exactly.
Santa Claus knows where all good little boys and girls are. He can bring presents everywhere.
Right. Yeah. And so that was figuring that out and not being at home to navigate that.
Yeah. That's
Thank goodness for technology now and ordering and shopping online. That was definitely a saving grace, but it was still an added stress. I still wanted everything to be and look and feel as perfect as it had every other year in his eyes.
Sure. Yeah, I totally understand that. What about you, Jenny? What do you think was the hardest part about being in a hospital during the holidays? I think for you, it's a little bit different. For both Lauren and me, we had older children at home, but you had a younger daughter at home.
She was always with us in the hospital. And so when we went to procedures, she was there too. She stayed in the hotel with her dad. So we were always together as a family, even if that together looked very different. For me, I think in a hospitalization in general, one of the hardest things is you're already dealing with a lot of grief. You're grieving the loss of your health. You're grieving the loss of, like Lauren was saying, normalcy.
Yes.
You're grieving the loss of your normal routine and school and play and time with family. And even in the smooth hospitalizations, they don't really feel that smooth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Hey, I do. I totally get that. Yeah, because there will be surprises. And especially, I don't know about you ladies, but we were at a teaching hospital. So there were so many different people who came through and wanted to look at the baby.
Absolutely. And when you're going through all that, life is a whirlwind. And I know for me, a lot of times when I would feel defeated, I would say things like, oh my gosh, I can't handle one more thing. Or what else am I going to be expected to do? Those bumps in the road, you can just feel very defeated. And so you pick up the pieces and you push forward. So when a holiday would come up, that would be that harder thing of, oh gosh, now we're grieving the loss of how we do this holiday. And so you're rewriting the narrative to make the story, to make the situation, to make things better, but also it's the how. How do you bring hope in a very hard situation? How do you bring Christmas joy, Christmas spirit, Thanksgiving joy, Thanksgiving spirit, like whatever the holiday is to celebrate? How do you bring that to where you are in this moment and have it be felt in a way that feels special? That was that challenge of, oh gosh, here's this one more thing. How am I going to do it? I don't even know how I'm doing what I'm doing so far, but you find a way.
Home Tonight Forever by the Baby Blue Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart with Anna.
Before the break, we were talking about the hardest part about being in a hospital during the holidays, and Jenny and Lauren made me cry. But actually feel the tears coming back. Those memories are so strong, aren't they, ladies?
Absolutely. They come back vivid for sure. And the thing about those memories is they're visceral.
They're attached to
every emotion that you ever could have experienced in one time when you have joy and pain and every juxtaposition that you can think of, it comes back in a ball, in a mess. And so, yeah, I get it.
I think the feelings are so extreme. You're feeling such extreme fear, such extreme sadness, but also such extreme joy. And sometimes for weird things like the golden stream, the first time you see your baby pee after surgery, and okay, the kidneys are okay. Yay. And you cheer for something that you never would have thought you would cheer for. But yeah, I think we're just on such a roller coaster, don't you, Jenny?
Oh, absolutely. And the golden stream, I get that. Yes, I know what you mean.
That's what the nurses called it. They were tensely watching the baby. And I said, why are we staring? What are we staring at? And one of the nurses said, we're watching for the golden stream. And I said, okay, what's the golden stream? And she said, that lets us know the kidneys are working. And I got it. We're all sleep deprived when our kids are in the hospital. Sometimes we need things explained to us. But yeah, then when we saw it happen, we all cheered. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that my baby's peeing. And that's not something I ever would have thought about before my child had to have open heart surgery. Let's talk about some of the happy memories that you've had while you're in the hospital during the holidays, because I think that you two mothers are just like me. And I heard you in the first segment talking about this, how you want to try and normalize things in the hospital. And it's not normal to be in the hospital, but for our kids who are born with broken hearts, yeah, it is normal to be in the hospital part of the time. Jenny, can you share a happy memory during the holiday season while you were in the hospital with Faith?
One of the happy memories that I have is just being able to access the resources that the hospitals have to offer. We were very fortunate to be in Children's Hospital Boston for a lot of our procedures, and they do have a lot of programs available. They have clown care, they have pet visits, there's different activities going on that the child life specialists put in place. And it really does bring something different to look at, to experience while you're there. And it really did brighten up my daughter's mood on those tough days. And these clowns that they have visit, they're good. We were entertained. We laughed the entire time. And
So important. Laughter is so important when you're healing, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I love that. When I was a little girl, I broke my arm when I was 7, and I was in the hospital during Christmas. I missed the Christmas play at school, and I missed our party, and I was so depressed that I had to be in the hospital all by myself. These were in the days when your parents didn't stay in the hospital with you. They just left you, and they came and visited for, I don't know, half an hour or an hour, and then they left. And Santa came to visit me. And I remember laying in that huge white bed, being a little girl with a broken arm, and Santa coming and asking me what I wanted for Christmas. And Lauren, you'll appreciate this. I said, I haven't had time to make a present for my baby sister. I need a present for my baby sister. And he reached in his bag and he gave me a little doll to give to my baby sister.
That is so sweet at 7. Kids care about their siblings. And it's just amazing at that age. And I feel like that's how Jack is too, just thinking about her. And now that she's older, thinking about him. And how nice that Santa was able to help you.
I know. He gave me a doll too. We both got dolls. But tell me about a happy memory that you had while you were in the hospital with Everly.
One of my happiest memories during our holiday seasons was when Jack came to visit, and it was a few days before Christmas, and his room at Ronald McDonald House, you could see directly from Evie's room in the hospital. So he turned on the light and he waved, and I waved from her window. And I felt like, okay, you know what? Things might be different. We can celebrate different ways. We can celebrate anywhere, but we're going to be together. And that was just like this really, really happy moment for me. And it was also really happy too, because there's a lot of rules, and there are rules for a reason to keep kids safe. But Jack was able to come up and see her. It wasn't just me going to see him separately away from her. And the fact that we were able to be together was just a moment that every time I think about standing in that window and feeling like, okay, it doesn't matter where we are as long as we're together.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. When my child was in the hospital, Frank and I would take turns being with the baby. So he never had to be alone without somebody there. And if Frank and I needed a break, my mom or dad would come and sit with him. So that was so important to me. But especially for the second surgery, the first surgery was an emergency procedure and we didn't know what we were doing. We were surviving the surgery. But with the second one, we knew we were having a surgery coming up and we planned and prepared so much better for it. And Frank would bring Joey up every night. And when we did our change of shift, we all had dinner together as a family in Alex's room. And I agree with you, Lauren. That was our normal for the time that Alex was in the hospital. And it was hard to leave. We would eat dinner and then we would sing Alex his night-night song. And then Joey and I would leave to go home so I could give him his bath and put him to bed. And Frank, who was used to being a night nurse, he did the night shift with Alex. But those golden moments when we were all together as a family, eating together, that is a happy memory for me. So I totally understand that. Gosh, girls, y'all are making me cry. I have not cried during a show for quite a while, but this is bringing back a lot of emotion.
I think the holidays and thinking about the holidays and spending time in the hospital brings back, and as I mentioned before, I'm not a very emotional person, but it does bring back a lot of emotions for me and a lot of feeling like you're right back there. And sometimes I think even a little bit of PTSD too, that every time things starts to come, I start to panic. Are we going to be home? Are we not going to be home? How soon can I start shopping and decorating and preparing in case we aren't home?
Yeah.
And I get why it's bringing tears to your eyes, because it's certainly giving me goosebumps thinking about those times.
Yeah. And that's why we're so close. Even though we've never met face to face, I feel a kinship with the two of you because we have had to face this really difficult experience and we did it. We're out on the other side, but it doesn't take much to get us back in that position where we remember exactly what it was like. And sadly, or luckily, we all know that we could be back in that position again because our children did make it. But we know that CHD is a lifelong condition. And in a heartbeat, our lives can change. What can you do to cheer up a child who's in a hospital during the holidays? I love it, Jenny, that they actually had clowns that came to see Faith. We did not have clowns at our hospital. So I think that's amazing. And dog therapy or pet therapy, that's amazing. We didn't have that either. But we had surrogate grandparents. We had people, abuelitas and abuelitas in the hospital because we were in San Antonio. And these were people who volunteered their time just to come hold the babies or just be there with the babies. And that was really, really special. So what do we do to cheer up a kid who's in the hospital? Jenny, I'll start with you.
We actually just put an article or a helpful tips in CHD magazine about that very thing in our Christmas catalog. And one of the things that's really important is to bring the holiday to them. So whatever your normal traditions are as a family, any of those that can be kept up in the hospital, I found that really helpful. In our family, say, for instance, at Christmas time, we like to open a present on Christmas Eve. We all have our traditions. We like to wear matching pajamas and hats or headbands with reindeer antlers and things like that. I have to say, I'm thankful we don't have an ugly sweater. But I do appreciate those and think they're a lot of fun. But my point is that whatever the tradition is that you have as a family, that has been extremely helpful, is to just bring those into the hospital. That helps cheer up. The other big thing is connectedness. Being in a hospital is isolating, and it's a lot of the new restrictions that have to be in place because of RSV or COVID flu being so rampant in the society right now. We have to be extra, extra careful. And we have always had to be careful of those things for our children, but it's just so present and it's a pandemic, right? So we have to be even more careful because there are germs everywhere. That creates, for safety reasons, extra rules and extra guidelines. There's no longer that ability to say, we're going to have the whole family visit the at Christmas time, and we can only have maybe one visitor in or two visitors in if you're really lucky. And so, again, bringing Christmas to your kids, we've used tablets, Zoom, FaceTime, things like that. My daughter was in the hospital during this last COVID outbreak, and we couldn't have more than two people at bedside. And so we FaceTimed a lot, and that same thing applies to the hospital during the holidays, keeping in touch.
That is so important. And when my child was in the hospital for his last major surgery, it was before all of that technology. This is making me feel so old. Lauren has these very young children, and it's been 11 years. So I don't remember FaceTime, even though I have an iPhone now. I didn't have an iPhone back then. And I think the connectedness was the hardest part. I would agree with you. And making that connection, when Alex had his last surgery, his brother was an adult and wasn't living at home anymore. And when he made the journey to San Antonio to visit with Alex, that just meant so much. And we were lucky because it wasn't during a pandemic. We didn't have that restriction. I think things are so much more complicated now, don't you, Lauren?
I think the restrictions are definitely a challenge. And obviously, they're there for a reason, to keep our kids safe and healthy and keep all the other patients safe and healthy. But it does add an extra challenge. We have been in and out of the hospital this year and are gearing up for Ev's next open heart surgery and some other procedures. But she was inpatient with illnesses. And it was hard for Jack because she had been out of the hospital during some of the COVID years. And now he was like, wait, why don't I get to visit her anymore? Why don't I get to see her? And I was really, really grateful for the technology for that piece, for her to get to see him and also Grandma and Grandpa and Matt when he wasn't at the hospital. So the technology is a really nice tool to be able to help cheer the kids up. I know in Ev's case, sometimes it works to our advantage and sometimes it backfires on us a little bit, that it almost makes her sadder that she's missing them, or kind of a tricky, like figuring out where she's at that day. And is it going to be helpful or is it going to make her a little bit sadder that the fact that they can't come visit? But I feel like the more, like Jenny and Anna, both of you have said, is bringing those experiences to the kids, even if they're in a different place. I know at the end of this past school year, Evie was really not able to attend school at all. She was just too sick and in and out of the hospital. And her school and class brought the end of the year to her. She had just gotten, I know, it was so nice. The moms and the teachers organized and were like, can we come by your house? They drove down our street. Every kid had signs, was waving to say goodbye to her.
Oh my gosh.
Teachers got out of the car and gave her her little end of the year certificate. And so while we weren't in the hospital in that particular experience, she had just gotten out of the hospital. And they were still able to bring it to her. And she was just so happy. She could lay on the chair in the driveway. And it was really, really nice.
Oh, my goodness. That is so amazing. People can be so kind. And I think sometimes they just need to know that they can do something. That was a very creative solution to bring it to her and still keep the distance so they didn't spread germs, since we are so concerned about that. But I think it's just amazing that those teachers thought of that and brought the certificate to her, and they came to see her and wave from a distance with signs. That's so beautiful.
It was so nice. No, we have been so blown away. I'm sure you guys have too. One of the things that have really come out of this CHD journey these past 5.5 years is just how many really good people there are in the mm-hmm. world. Because sometimes you watch the news and you're like,
yes,
oh my gosh, it's all bad news over and over. And then mm-hmm. you see these people and you're like, wow, you know what? There are a lot of really, really good, really nice, really kind, thoughtful people in the world who care.
Yes. And sometimes they're strangers that care. That's what amazes me, when perfect strangers find out that your child is in the hospital and somebody anonymously mows your yard for you. So when you come back home, you don't have weeds that are taller than you are. And that's something that happened for me, is that somebody just came by, never took credit. I asked around the neighborhood. Nobody took credit for it. They just did it. People can be so kind. And I love what Jenny said about the child life specialists. I think a lot of child life specialists have halos and angel's wings. Because I know when we were in the hospital the last time, I had a teenager in a children's hospital. That is not fun, because most of the things are tailored to small children. And it just so happened that there was another teenager who was even older than Alex in the hospital at that time, and one that was younger. So we had these three boys. One of the boys, their head was immobilized and they were having some major surgeries. It wasn't heart, but it was other types of major surgeries. And they just wanted to be kids. So the child life specialist said, why don't I rent a movie for these three teenagers, and we'll have them come in the evening when none of the other children are there, and we'll just let them watch a movie. And so they watched the Pirates of the Caribbean. And for a little while, the three of them were eating popcorn and drinking Gatorade or whatever it was that they were drinking and watching a movie, and the rest of the hospital staff wasn't there, wasn't at the forefront. Did either of you have any situation that was kind of like that?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. The child life specialists are so amazing, and they do accommodate. I think, like you, Anna, our kiddos were born really early on. I remember the days, as you were talking about earlier, of no technology available and using calling cards to call back home, because there were actual payphones in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. So the resources in those early days definitely were not available. There was always somebody. There was always that nurse or that mm-hmm. doctor or that one person who just had the biggest heart that would go out of their way to make something special. And like you were saying, Lauren, it really is an opportunity through all the heartache even to see the good in people, because there's so many good people who just pick up those broken pieces and help you put them back together.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, A Handbook for Parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
for this segment, I want to hear some advice from you veteran moms, even though, Lauren, I don't think you feel like a veteran mom. You are. You've been through enough situations in a hospital, especially, that I know you have some great advice to share with us. But I want to start with you, Jenny. Tell us what advice you have for a family who finds themselves in the hospital during the holiday season.
I have really two key pieces of advice. One would be to make sure that you ask for help. When you're home and you're planning a holiday party or a holiday event, you have usually a number of people who are lending a hand. Somebody brings the potatoes, somebody brings the stuffing. You know what I mean? There's a number of people who contribute, usually, whether it be cleaning the house or whatever the tasks are at hand. Mm-hmm. That doesn't change in the hospital. But in the hospital, we often feel like we have to take care of everything because we're in default mode to do that. We are taking care of a million little things, and we're taking care of our one big most important thing, our children. And so it can become a default or second nature to just jump in and try to tackle the problem. But if in any moment you think or have a thought that says, I wish I could fill in the blank, that in that moment you reach out to one person, to three people, to 10 people, to a group you have on Facebook, whatever it may be, and say, I just had this thought. Mm-hmm. And let somebody else be able to help what your need is. The thing is that most people who aren't there with you, they want to be able to help. They know what to do.
Yes, that's so true.
But we don't often know what we need. And so it's those moments. So if something comes to you in that moment, ask for it. There's probably somebody out there who might be able to help. The second piece of advice is it's always important before you make any plans to absolutely check with your hospital to see what their rules and guidelines are. There's a lot of regulations that you might not think of, like maybe you'd want to bring in a little Christmas tree or something of that nature. And that might be a no-no, so to speak, for the hospital because
That's so true.
To prevent disappointment, it's good to check first. Mm-hmm. And in that checking, those folks also have experienced a lot of hospitalizations because they work there through the hospitals, but they may even have some ideas about ways to create a fun environment that you haven't even thought of. So
that's so true.
With your hospital staff and asking for help.
That's so good. I know when we were in the ICU, we weren't allowed any plants, no flowers. They really didn't want you to bring anything extra in there, because they needed the space to be able to work just in case something happened. So you're right, finding out what the hospital's rules, and every hospital has its own unique set of rules. And they change. So even if you were in a hospital 6 months earlier or a year before, things could be different. So that's excellent advice. Thank you, Jenny. That's really, really good advice. Okay, Lauren, I hate to put you on the spot now after those two really good answers, but I know you probably have your own advice for how we can help families in the hospital during the holidays.
It is hard to go after that because very articulately said, one of the big pieces that I've learned is letting people help. So you know what? Yeah, you can go pick up all my presents and you can wrap them for me. Very helpful for me because I have no idea how I'm going to get that done. It just
being specific like that really helps, Lauren.
Yeah. And at first I was like, no, I'll get it done somehow. And then I was like, you know what? Yeah, mom, it would be really great if you go pick those up and you wrap them. And that would help me a ton. And that took a huge weight off. I didn't even realize how much stress I was carrying from other little odds and ends type things like that, and other little holiday traditions of things that you might do at night for the next morning every single day and hide around the house, like having things for that little friend to do and give that I didn't have ready. So yeah, mom, can you go run to the store and get some stuff for that little tradition? That would be great to help make Jack happier. And then I think another thing that helped me get through the holiday season was trying to think every day. Sometimes you just got to feel your emotions and you got to feel sad and upset or down about it. But then trying to think, what am I grateful for? I that Jack still got to go to the gingerbread party that we went to every single year. Yeah, I didn't get to be there, but my friends took a video of him sitting on Santa's lap, asking Santa to please fix his sister's heart. That was his number one thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was grateful that there was technology that let me see that video of it. And I was grateful that Jack got to go. So while I really wished I was there, but the more I could kind of reframe my thinking helped me to have more positive days by trying to figure out what was happening that was really good versus focusing on what wasn't happening that I wished was happening.
Oh, I think that's so important for our mental health. Focusing on the good. And it's hard sometimes, especially when our kids have some kind of setback, like what happened to us with the pleural effusions. We had 3 drains and then we went down to 2 and we thought we were going to be able to go down to 1. And then they ended up realizing that it was clogged. The reason it wasn't draining was not because we could pull it, but because it was clogged. And then they put some medicine, some TPN in, and fluid came gushing out. And it was such a huge disappointment. But I like what you said about allowing yourself to feel that disappointment. My teenager started to cry. And at first I was like, I'm going to be stoic. I'm not going to cry. He can lean on me. And then I thought, oh my gosh, if I can't cry with my kid when he's suffering like this, there's something wrong with me. So I cried with him. We just held each other and we just cried. And then we dried our eyes and we were like, okay, it'll get better. We just had to believe that it was going to get better. But I think it's okay sometimes to allow yourself to feel that disappointment and to know that things are not always going to work out the way you want them to. But what is there that we can be thankful for? It's funny how you all were talking about technology, and especially Jenny, since you're of my generation and your kid and my kid are very close in age. The last time we were in the hospital, I don't remember having FaceTime, but I do remember being able to send text messages, which was huge. I didn't have to be on the phone saying the same thing over and over. I could send out text messages. But the technology that probably saved us and was so helpful to us was Plants vs. Zombies. Alex had brought his tablet to the hospital and he got me hooked on Plants vs. Zombies, and we spent hours just playing that game and watching movies because Child Life brought a DVD player in and we had brought some movies from home. So I think it's good sometimes to bring things from home. We always did bring pillows and certain things from home to make the hospital not seem quite so sterile and to make it seem a little homier when we knew we would be there for weeks on end. Did both of you ladies bring things from home to make the hospital seem a little homier?
Oh my goodness, our room was always decked out. And I have to say, one of the funny things we did, because I had a teenage girl in the hospital. She was in the hospital throughout the years, so probably every stage of life we've had a hospitalization. But whoever her celebrity crush was at the time, we always used to frame a picture of whoever that was and put it on her bedstand in the hospital room, just relax. We did a lot of funny conversation with the nurses, and it really would brighten up her stay. She would get a kick out of that every time.
That's great. I love that. Lauren, did you decorate?
We have decorated. Now that Evie is a little bit older and likes to color and draw when she's feeling up for it, we always make sure our hospital bag, and in the back of the car, there's an extra hospital bag all the time, has crayons and markers and paper, so that she likes to decorate her own room now. One of the things that is really important to Evie and has been important to us over the years is I try to make sure that we always have our own cute, fun, colorful, soft hospital gowns that either have pictures of our family on them or characters she likes, things
sweet.
Like that. And I think that that makes a big difference for her. She's happier to put them on. And I think it gives her a little sense of home. It also, obviously, sometimes in the ICU, it's a little tricky with gowns and fabric type things like blankets. But when she's able, it smells like our regular laundry detergent. It feels soft like our regular laundry detergent. And I think that that's a nice, comfortable piece for her. And even as a baby, we tried to have our blankets be washed fresh, clean at home. And again, sometimes you can have those and sometimes you need the sterile ones because it's important for it. But then as a baby, it smelled like what she was used to. So we try to bring a lot. I think Sometimes the doctors laugh at me at first because I have a lot of stuff. But thank goodness for Ronald McDonald House because you can keep some of it over there. But our hospital bag is always packed. There's a bag in our room. There's a bag in the car. And it has hospital gowns. It has fuzzy slippers. It has blankets to at least get through a couple days. And I really do think it makes a big difference. She feels comfortable and gives her some privacy and some sense of control of here are your gown choices. Like in the morning, you pick what outfit you want to wear. And now here are your four gowns. Which one do you want to wear today? I think there's something to be said for when you feel put together or you feel like if you look good, you feel good. You know what I mean? Like sometimes when you're ready and stuff, some days we like to stay in our pajamas all day. And you don't shower, you don't feel necessarily maybe as productive or think it helps. Brush your hair.
Love that. And I did a show, golly, a couple of years ago with Lisa Morton. And she's an adult with a CHD from Scotland. And she's a psychologist. And she was actually doing some studies on the psychology of clothing in the hospital. And exactly what you're saying, how having certain clothing makes you feel different. And some considerations for clothing in the hospital. I thought that was fascinating. And I think you're absolutely right. That was a huge moment for us. Alex was just in the hospital gown longer than Frank and I felt he should. And so I actually went out and bought some fuzzy slippers, nice soft slippers for him to put on, and some sweatpants and just some comfortable clothes, and tried to get him out of the hospital gown because we were telling him, you want to go home, dress like you hope to be dressing soon. You don't have to be in this hospital gown any longer. And as soon as he started wearing regular street clothes, as much as he could, he still couldn't wear shirts exactly the way he wanted to, but at least he could have his bottoms on and walking through the halls and doing his exercise, but wearing more normal clothes, his whole posture changed, his whole attitude changed. So I think that's brilliant. I really love that. I cannot believe our time is almost up, but we do have time for one more question. And I think since all three of us have been in the hospital during the holidays, we know how lonely that can feel. And I know both of you are strong advocates for the CHD community. What can we do to help other families who are stuck in the hospital during the holidays? I'll start with you, Lauren.
One of the things our family really likes to try to do each holiday season and other times throughout the year is think about different ways that we can bring joy to other families who are hospitalized in the way that other people have for us. I remember our first hospital stay, somebody came by and dropped off a gift basket. And I was like, oh my gosh, some stranger somewhere thought of me and thought that my newborn baby might need this. That's incredible. I didn't think to pack this, or I wouldn't have packed it because I was so busy thinking of other things. So for us, we try to do things like our family and friends come together and purchase a bunch of hospital gowns, and then we deliver them so that kids that are inpatients can get a brand new gown and now they have something different to wear, or sponsoring a meal at the hospital. So dropping off sandwiches. Again, every hospital has different rules and those come and go and change, especially with COVID precaution protocols. But I think it makes a difference for somebody that, oh my gosh, somebody thought of me and there was a sandwich sitting there for me. And it's not something huge or something big necessarily, but to that person, it might feel really big. And maybe that was like the little spark of kindness that helped their day be a little more positive. Their child got a new hospital gown, or the parents got to have a sandwich because you can't eat in the ICU room. And they walked in to have a break and grab a sip of water or coffee. And wow, there were sandwiches here today. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things. And honestly, it fills our bucket too. It's really important to Matt and I that our kids do it, but our kids feel really good about doing things and collecting things. Abby's preschool right now is collecting a ton of stuff for Ronald McDonald House. How nice is it to have shampoo?
Yes.
To have a toothbrush. How many times have you been in an ambulance and you don't have anything, and now you're there. You're, oh my gosh, how am I going to wash my hair today? And you want to be clean because you have this sick child that you're trying to take care of. So for us, it brings us joy to do things for other families, and it brings our family and friends joy to help other families that are in the position that we've been in. And then I also think it's nice for the families who are inpatient to feel like somebody thought of me, because while we, the Bakkes, are very, very grateful and very lucky that we have really good family and friends. Not everybody does. Not right. everybody has people to help them. And sometimes so I need to true. Remember that might be a single mom who's there alone and she doesn't have somebody to run and go get that for her.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, what do you have to add to this? What can we do to help families who are in the hospital during the holidays?
I think that one of the things that we can do, and this is going to sound a little funny, but I'm going to say ask and then remove the ask. And so what I mean by that is you can always check in with the hospital and find out what their policies are on your own. You can call the hospital social worker. You can call the hospital administration, a front desk information, and find out what are the rules and regulations. And then remove the ask from the families. They are busy. They are trying to get through each day, and they might not be able to get back to you. And it's not because they don't want to and not because they don't appreciate. It's just because they're tied up with unexpected, very important, obvious matters. And so when I say remove the ask, if it's on your heart, if you're like, gosh, if I were in the hospital, I know I'd really like a good meal. Go ahead and send over that gift card for that meal or collect a bunch of cards. Whatever it is that is on your heart, I always feel like that's put on your heart for a reason. As long as it falls within the hospital regulations, I would say just go for it and remove the ask. It will be a blessing to the family who's receiving whatever the thoughtful thing is that you want to do. And I think, Lauren, you've done such a good job talking about all the little things that make a big difference during this hour. And it really is the little things in life in general, in the hospitals, in the holidays. It doesn't matter what that time is in life. The little things matter the most. And so just remember, if when you're thinking of helping families and helping people that are going through these stressors, it doesn't have to be big or grandiose, because it really is whatever that little thing is. That's the big blessing. That's what helps. That's what touches the heart and makes a difference. It can make all the difference in the world. One kind word, one note, one letter, one card can make all the difference in the course of a day.
Absolutely. And going back to what you were talking about earlier, Jenny, when you were saying communication and connection, I know for Alex, when he was in the hospital with this last hospitalization, like I said, we were in there the day before Halloween. His goal was to be home by Thanksgiving. We didn't reach that goal. But that year, we had planned to have Thanksgiving with some dear friends of our family. And I had to call them and tell them that we weren't going to make it. But I said, would you be willing to celebrate Thanksgiving with us after we do get home? And he said, absolutely. As I said, it will be a huge Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter the date on the calendar, just to have our friends and family together, just to be back home. And so that year, we celebrated Thanksgiving on December 5th. I'll never forget that. But we had the whole family together, as many as could come, and those special friends. And we had the big turkey and the dressing and everything that we wanted to. In fact, on Thanksgiving Day, even though the hospital served turkey and dressing, Alex refused to eat it. He said, this is not my Thanksgiving. And we had to bring other food to him because that wasn't what his vision of Thanksgiving was. So just for people to be flexible and give the child in a hospital something to look forward to. When I told him, Lauren Ryan are willing to do this later, Joey will come and share Thanksgiving with us later, he had that to hold on to. And I think sometimes we need that, don't you, ladies?
Oh, yeah. Flexibility is huge. And it does give people something to hold on to, because, you know, what's the opposite? Inflexibility, and people can tend to feel like, oh, they don't want to switch this or they don't want to switch that. But if you suddenly have a whole family saying, I want to meet for Thanksgiving, but we'll do it on this day, doesn't that make you feel just so loved? So one little change in that flexibility, I can see why that stuck with you for as many years as it has.
Yeah, 11 years. 11 years later, I still remember exactly what day we did it that year. But oh my goodness, I love all the advice that you ladies gave and giving from your heart. Jenny, you're so right. When you give from your heart, people know it. And sometimes it is nice when a stranger does something for you. I remember one year it was on my heart to make a bunch of little red hats. And for Valentine's Day, I took all these little babies' caps to the children's hospital because I wanted to keep their head warm. And I thought having a hand knitted or a hand crocheted hat was just a little bit of Oma love that I could share with some children I didn't know, but who I knew would appreciate having something like that. And you're right, it's the little things that matter. Sometimes just a kind word makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It really does. It can just change somebody's whole day, just like a smile, smiling at somebody, waving at them, saying hello. And there's so many little ways to make anybody's day, inpatient, outpatient, anywhere in the world, better.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I can't believe our time is up. This has totally flown. I could talk to you ladies all day long, but it is time to say goodbye. So thank you so much for coming on the program today, Lauren. It has been lovely getting to know you.
It was so nice for me too. And I honestly actually feel like a little weight is off my shoulders. It was almost like a little bit of a therapy session talking to people who get it and understand it. Cause I always get a little panicked this time of the year. Are we going to be in the hospital? Are we not? So thank you guys so much.
Oh, I love that. And Jenny, thank you so much for coming back on the program and for suggesting that we do this program. Friends, you're listening to this program because Jenny said, what are we going to do for Christmas this year? And I said, well, how about if you come on my show? So thanks for coming on the show, Jenny.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. And I just want to say, too, for anybody who is going to be in the hospital during this holiday season, we are thinking of you. And we think that you are amazing and what you do every single day is incredible. And we believe in your every step of the way.
Well, what I would like to say is for those of you who are in the hospital, we don't know you all by name, but we know what it's like to be in the hospital during the holidays. And we will be praying for you and praying for your families that you can get back home as soon as possible, have speedy recoveries, and that you can find something good about being in a hospital during the holidays and maybe make somebody else's day a little better just with a smile or a friendly word. That's all for this week's episode. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please consider becoming a patron. Just go to www.patreon.com/hearttoheart and pledge a monthly amount to support our program. We really do appreciate your support. Have a great holiday season, my friends, and remember, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have become inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host, Anna Jaworski, can be heard at any time, wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode is released every Tuesday from noon Eastern Time.